preach to you today because we know He always shows us how to live life. And as we continue to tune into His Holy Spirit's words and to His directions, we're going to live a life that is victorious. Amen. And so we're just going to let His word just flow right into us this very morning. I got to tell you, many years ago, I worked as a therapist in a nursing home. And I remember how I loved just to sit with my patients and listen to their stories of their past. They got so much to tell. I just sit there, oh yeah, wow. And I just love to hear all the things, experiences they had been through in life. And they have so much to tell, and they would usually begin with the phrase, "I remember the good old days." And they would go on and on and tell me about their days of innocence, about how good those days of past were. And I would just listen and listen. To get a better understanding of what I'm talking about, I want to read to you the lyrics of a song. You probably heard of it, "Grandpa, Tell Me About the Good Old Days." And it's a song that was sung by the Judds. It's a country song. And I don't really care too much about country songs, but I like this country song. But let me read to you the lyrics of this song. It says, "Grandpa."
Sing it.
No, I don't want to do that.
Oh, yeah.
"Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. Sometimes it feels like this world's gone crazy. Grandpa, take me back to yesterday when the line between right and wrong didn't seem so hazy. Did lovers really fall in love to stay and stand beside each other come what may? Was a promise really something people kept, not just something they would say? Did families really bow their heads to pray? Did daddies really never go away?" I'll sing the last part. "Oh, Grandpa, tell me about the good old days." You know that song, right? You know, here's the thing. You ever heard like two older local people talk? Two older people from Hawaii. If you can hear them talk about the days of past, you might hear a conversation like this. "Oh, used to be in my day." You ever heard them say that? "Used to be. You never need to lock your doors. Everybody was honest. Everybody knew each other. We could trust each other." And then you might hear them say, "Oh, used to be in my day. Oh, the kids respect their parents. Oh, they never talk back to them. If they did, oh, they wouldn't get lickings." And we hear those things, right? And with this kind of talk, it seems like we're living in a world in which people's hearts are getting more hard. It's getting more evil. And it just made me think, when I'm a grandpa, knowing that it has gone from bad to worse, will my grandkids say, "Grandpa, tell me about the bad old days"? Really? Because we know it seems like the world is getting worse when it concerns morality, isn't it? When you hear about the violence, you hear about all the things that's going on, the pestilence, the disease, the natural disasters, and one thing after the other. You turn on the TV, you watch the news, you go, "Oh, I don't want to watch anymore." And you're thinking, "Man, is it going to get better?" And here's the thing. As people's hearts grow colder, you may think, hey, less and less people are going to be open to the Word of God. They're going to be less willing to receive the gospel of Christ. You know, in 2 Peter 3:2-4, it's in your notes. It says here, Peter says, "Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days," are we in the last days? Well, the signs are there, right? It says, "to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires." We kind of see that in today's world. John 15:18-21, this is what it says. "If the world hates you," this is Jesus talking here. "If the world hates you," talking about the believers, right? It says, "remember that it hated me first. The world will love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out." We are out of the world. So guess what? The world hates you. "Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. They will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me." And brothers and sisters, the truth of the matter is, that now, like no other time in our country's history, I have to tell you, this is a great time to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Actually, any time is a great time to be a follower of Jesus Christ, but you know what? When it concerns missions, when it concerns reaching others who are lost, concerning the fact that we can reach them with the Word of God, oh, this is an awesome time. And with all the bad news that we hear in this fallen world, we know there's good news. Guess what? We are the carriers of the good news. We get the privilege to go out and tell people Jesus Christ loves you. And that you can put your hope in God. And God will truly bless your life. And from this we know there are blessings. Blessings in the fact that even though we live in a world that seems like it's filled with a non-Christian heart, a non-Christian attitude, you know, we are blessed because people's hearts are open to the gospel of Christ. And that's what it's all about, because Jesus called us on a mission to tell the whole world about the good news of what he had done for us. He had died and he had risen and he lives in us. That's the gospel. The gospel that we must go and tell the whole world about. So what are these blessings? These blessings of living in the non-Christian world. Well, number one here, it says the light, you can write in that blank, the light in our hearts brighten more as the world gets darker. The light in our hearts brighten more as the world gets darker. Look what it says in Matthew 5, 14 to 16. It says here, you are the light of the world, Jesus says to us, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. And what we got to understand is light, it shines best in total darkness. Think about this with this projector. If I were to turn this on and try to project an image on the screen, would you be able to see it? Right now, with the lights on, you wouldn't see it, right? You need total darkness. That's why we got curtains here. Because at first, when we started, we didn't have these curtains, and you could barely see the picture. You need total darkness. And that's where we got to understand. It seems like the world is getting darker, isn't it? Guess what? The light of Jesus in us is getting brighter and brighter. And as we have the boldness, the courage to say, Lord, send me. I'm going and go forth and proclaim the good news of the gospel of Christ. I tell you, people's hearts are open. I know a lot of my friends who weren't willing to listen to what I had to say about my faith in God. Guess what? They sometimes will call me and have questions about what I believe about God. And I go, whoa, that's awesome. And we got to be ready for an answer, because they will come with the questions. And they kind of look at the world and see how it's going, and they want to know more about what God can do to make it so that they can truly experience the peace of God. You know, there's an old world proverb that says, darkness reigns at the foot of the lighthouse. Let me read that again. Darkness reigns at the foot of the lighthouse. And what does this mean? I want you to take a look at this here. Hold on just a second. Here's a picture of a lighthouse. Let me ask you something. Where do you think there is the greatest darkness? When you look at this lighthouse, where do you think there is the greatest of darkness? What do you think is right here at the foot, at the base of the lighthouse? Because just think about this. The light shines from the very top of the lighthouse, right? It shines outward. Does it ever shine downward? No, right? So there is darkness right here at the foot, at the very foot of the lighthouse. And what you got to understand is, knowing that the greatest darkness is there, people sometimes, they think, you know, when they look back on their childhood, they say, you know what? I think I'm a Christian because when I was a child, my family went to church. Or they may say, you know what? I grew up in a church, but I never really came to know him. Because that's the thing I want to point out to you. Just because you're in close proximity to the light doesn't mean the light is in you. The way you get the light in you and you get out of the shadow of the lighthouse, you had to allow the light of the gospel to enter into your heart. And as we allow His word to come into our hearts, we know our lives have to be transformed. Because you cannot say, I got the word in my heart, and you're still living like the world does. Because the gospel will tell you truly how to live a life that's pleasing to Him. Just because you think you're close to the light, no, you still may be in darkness. The way you come to know the light and embrace the light is when you say, Lord, I humble myself before you and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. That's what it takes, because we know that's what God wants from us. He wants us to open our hearts to Him so that His light can truly come in. And we know that as we get out of that shadow of the lighthouse, we know His light will shine brightly and all the world will see that we truly belong to God. And you know, this was able to happen because someone told us about Jesus Christ. And as we listen, guess what? One thing for me at least, when people told me the truths of the gospel, I kind of listened, but I didn't really embrace it until I looked at how this person lived his or her life. I go, whoa, they're different. They got a peace like I never seen before. They got a joy like I never experienced before. And I go, wow, I want to know more about that. Because even in difficulties, they got a smile on their face. They have joy. And I remember, I said, oh, I want to know more. And that's what it's all about, knowing that the person has changed. Because you know what? The Holy Spirit had come in and transformed them. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:6. It says, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine where? In our hearts. To give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And you know what? They will see how this light shines by how we live. It's not by how many scriptures, verses we memorize. It's not how much knowledge we have of the gospel. No, they're going to look at our lives. And they go, whoa, yeah, this person is true. This person is authentic. Wow, I really would like to know more about what he believes about God. Look what it says in Matthew 5:16. It says here, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You know, to further illustrate this, I want to tell you about this article I read, which talked about new technology for carpet cleaning that basically will remove pet urine from your carpet. And here's the thing, you know, when pet urine dries up, you can't see it, right? So what happens is, they have a gadget that can detect this, and basically this gadget emits a black light. So when this carpet cleaner comes to your house, he'll go around your house with this gadget, and because urine is composed of proteins, it will glow under a black light. So when this guy comes to your house, he tells you to turn off all the lights, and he tells you to draw all your shades, and he walks through your house with the homeowner, right? And he will find trails of urine. If you have pets, he's gonna find trails of urine all over the carpet. But here's the thing, not only that, this one guy who does this, he says he finds it all over the drapes, all over the stereo speakers, the back of the couch, and splattered on the walls. And you know, often the owners, they would say, man, I don't care what it costs, just clean it up, get it off of my belongings. And another person, he said, I'll never be comfortable in my home again. Clean it up, clean up this mess. And what is the whole point of this? Pastor, why are you telling us this? Well, here's the thing. The point of this is that when the light of Jesus is shining brightly in us, people see how kind we are, how joyful we are, how loving, how humble we are. They know, hey, say, oh, this guy is different. You know what? They're going to see how filthy their sins are in their very own lives. Because they realize, man, this person says he knows God. God really changed him. And you know what they're going to say to God? Oh, I don't care what it takes, Lord. Just clean up my mess. Because they see that you are true, that you are real, that when you say, I believe in Jesus, it's not just mere words. They see Jesus in you. That light is shining so brightly. They're saying, I gotta make things right. Lord, clean up my mess. You see that? And it's all because we live lives that were true to God. Amen? Well, number two here, it says, our hope in Christ becomes obvious to the lost. And what I mean by that is that they realize that God is in the business of restoring lives. Because you know what? We say, yeah, put your hope in God. Put your hope in Christ. But a lot of times, you know, people go, what does that mean? No? You know, you put your hope in God. I got to tell you, knowing that we're living in a world where, like we said earlier, it seems like it's just falling apart. Right? They're going to know what that means because they're going to see it, that, hey, even though for some of us, we still maybe experience some difficulties in life, we got joy. We know we put our hope in God because God's going to make it right for us. God's going to fix our problems because we trust in Him, because we believe in Him. Look what it says in 1 Peter 3:15. It says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. With so much despair in the world, are you ready to tell people about the hope you have in Christ? Because you know what? We should be living lives where people take note of how we're living our lives. Let me ask you, have anyone ever came up to you and asked you, what is this about your hope in God? Because if no one has ever asked you, because sometimes I kind of look at my own life and I realize there's nobody asking me, you know, why am I living differently? I have to ask myself, am I truly living the life that God wants me to live? Because people should be asking you, how come you're so different? How come you're not worried? How come you're not so anxious like everybody else? And you should be telling them, it's because I put my hope and trust in God.
Amen.
And that's where people, they're going to say, oh, tell me more, because I need to know. And I got to tell you, people are hungry. They're hungry for a greater love. They're hungry for a love that cannot match up to any other love in this world. And their hearts are ripe, and they're ready, and they're willing to listen. You know, there's a man, his name is Thomas Anderson, and he's one of the writers of Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. And this is what he says. He says here, when storm clouds gather over the economy, people often seek shelter. You know what they seek shelter in? In a glass of whiskey, a pack of cigarettes, or leaning over the edge of a roulette table. And isn't it true? The world, they find peace through other means, right? We as believers, you know, we can find peace only through God. And you know, that's why many financial advisors, you know what they're telling their clients? No joke. They're telling them to invest in sin as a safeguard against a possible recession. Because you know what? It's true. Tobacco, alcohol, and gambling have long been called sin stocks or vice funds. And when the economy takes a downturn, historically, these stocks have held up in the market. Can you believe that? Stocks with tobacco, alcohol, and gambling. And you know, during the recession of 2000 to 2003, economists discovered that the more popular reliable stocks tumbled 47%, while casino and gaming stocks, the gambling, right? Gaming stocks grew 115%. And you go, whoa. You gotta ask yourselves, in our troubled times, who do you turn to? To God? Or to sin? Do you really want to invest in sin? Because that's what the financial advisor is saying. Invest in sin because you can make more money. No, we invest in the kingdom of God. We put our hearts and on the line and say, Lord, my whole life belongs to you. Then and only then can God come in because he sees your heart is true. He will let his miracles, his blessings be poured forth in your life. Amen? Basically, some people say, oh, I don't need God. I know that I'll be all right without God. Well, here's the honest truth. No God, no hope. But if you choose to come to know God, no hope. Because you know you put your hope in God. He says, I will let your hope in me just continue to grow. With your hope in me, God says, I'm going to unleash my joy, my peace, my blessings will overflow in your heart, because you know that's what God wants for all the world to see, that those who truly hang on to his word, that live his word, God says, I'm going to pour it all on you so the whole world will see that I'm real, that I'm for you, I'm not against you. Amen? Amen. Well, number three here, it says, with an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon us, our opportunities to reach the lost become limitless. And you know, in the beginning of Acts chapter 2, you see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. It's not in your notes. I'm going to read it to you. This is what it says in Acts 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they, the apostles, were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were what? Filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So what was the result of this infilling, of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon them? Well, look in your notes. Look what it says in Acts 2:41. It says, with many other words, he's Peter. Peter warned them, and he pleaded with them. He told the people, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized. Look what it says there. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. In one day, 3,000 souls came to know Christ. And you know why? It's because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit's presence was upon the people. Look what it says in Acts 2:46-47. It says there, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Every day, people are coming to know God because the Holy Spirit's power and presence has fallen upon them, and their hearts have been softened to the point they realize how much they need God. And I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, as you go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, you go with boldness to proclaim his word, many people will come to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I have to tell you, we know there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon this world right now. Do you guys believe that? But you may ask, how do we know we have this outpouring? Well, look what it says in Acts 2:17. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on, everyone say, all. All people. Let me ask you, do you think we're in the last days? We don't know when Jesus is coming back. But you know what? All the signs are there from what the scripture tells us. And we're not going to say, oh, prepare, because, you know, Jesus may be coming any day soon. Oh, we gotta give up everything. We gotta start worrying. No, you don't do that. We prepare our hearts knowing that it could be any time that Jesus will come back. But you know what? We're going to say, Lord, we're ready. We're going to say, anytime, Lord. And we know because there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we got to go forth and just be bold and tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. Because people's hearts, I tell you, They're willing to listen. And you know, you just pray for them as you're telling them about the awesomeness of your Father God. And you're telling them about the good news of the gospel of Christ. Oh, just pray for them. You say, Lord, I pray their hearts will be softened as I show them the way to salvation. Amen? And you know, the truth of the matter is the more our culture rejects God, the more they will need him. Because they're going to realize, hey, things aren't getting any better. Because they may say, oh, I don't need God. Don't talk to me about God. Enough already. But you know what? The more they reject Him, they realize, hey, we really need Him. Because they're going to try to do it the world's way. They're going to try to rely on man, but they're going to realize they're getting nowhere. And they're going to realize, hey, I want to know more about the God that you believe in. Because when they truly realize, hey, we truly are on a sinking ship that's heading where? A sinking ship only goes what?
Down,
right?
Down.
Will it ever go up? No, it's going to keep on going down until it hits the bottom of the sea. And it's heading downward in this path of destruction. And they realize, oh, we're still raising our hands and praising God. And guess what? They're going to soon cry out for a Savior. And they're going to cry out to Jesus. That's where we will continue to proclaim the very fact that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And He can save you from whatever your problem is. Whatever your difficulty is, God can rescue you. And God can restore your life. And we have to help people understand it's only through God alone that can meet our needs. It's only through God alone that we can experience His restoration power. Amen?
Amen.
Well, number four.